We'll just proceed. You're here at least. I've already spoken to everyone else in this meeting, but I'll just quickly let you know that council staff are not involved in the decision-making process of the Inner West Planning Panel, but we are here to facilitate today's meeting. We're doing it via teleconference, of course. Please find a quiet area. Speak clearly and slowly. All the panel members will introduce themselves and explain why we're doing it via teleconference. There is a limit of 3 minutes for each speaker, and once the time limit's been exhausted, you'll hear a beeping sound, and that's when you should conclude your comments. Please be respectful and do not talk over others. Any statements that you make will be recorded on pub and published on Council's website. And the panel may adjourn the teleconference and deliberate if necessary. So now that I've confirmed that almost everyone's here except for Alex Zakari, I will pass back to the panel chair, Mr. David Lloyd.
Thank you. Well, this is a public meeting, and in common with all public meetings of this council, I should firstly acknowledge the Gadigal and Wangal people of the nation on whose country we are meeting today, their elders past and present. Then I should ask if there are any declarations of interest, panel members. No declarations of interest?
No.
No declaration.
All
None
right.
from Cath Roach.
Okay. Then at the start of these meetings, it's appropriate that we each introduce ourselves, that is, the panel members. I'm David Lloyd. I chair the meeting, and I chair a number of other panel meetings as well. I'm a lawyer, I'm a QC. I'm a former judge of the Land and Environment Court. I'm a former acting judge of the Supreme Court. I'm presently a professor of law at Western Sydney University. Mr. McInerney.
Yes, thank you, David. My name is John McInerney. I'm an architect and town planner, and I am, in fact, an ex-deputy Lord Mayor of the City of Sydney. I have extensive local government experience. Thank you, David.
Miss Tuor.
My name is Annelise Tor. I have qualifications in architecture, planning, and dispute resolution. I'm a former commissioner of the Land and Environment Court, and I'm currently on a number of these planning panels.
Miss Roach.
Good morning, Cath Roach from Sync Solutions. On this particular panel, I'm here as a community representative. I work with a lot of councils as part of my company, Sync Solutions, and there are a lot of governance areas and policy areas across a number of councils in New South Wales. This particular one, though, I'm here as a community rep.
Thank you. It will be seen that the members of the panel are impartial, experts in their own fields, and have a clear expertise as attested by their formal qualifications. They are independent, detached from the political process. They act impartially and dispassionately to achieve the best outcome. What we are doing here today is considering a planning proposal for a property at 1 to 5 Chester Street, Annandale. I should say that the panel has examined the site, has read the various technical and experts' reports that accompany the planning proposal, and the purpose of this meeting is to hear the public and the proponents to hear what they have to say. After that, we will then adjourn and consider our recommendation. I should add that we are not the determining body here. Our role here is to review all the material and make a recommendation to the council, which will be making the final decision. So, with that, I can move straight on to hearing the members of the public who wish to address the panel. As I've said, the protocol As has been said, the protocol governing these meetings says that you may each address the panel. Members of the public may address the panel for up to 3 minutes. So I'll call you each in turn, and you have 3 minutes. Is Tanya Taylor here?
Yes, I am.
Would you like to proceed?
Thank you. I've been an owner and occupier of the residence in Annandale for 15 years. So with my family, we've been very close proximity to the proposed development and any resultant activities and impacts. So we actually reside at number 3 Chester Street. I believe it's Chester Street West, according to council. I've documented my objections already to council in March. In principle, I do not object to a form of reasonable development. However, I believe that the current proposal is wrong in terms of scale and type. So in terms of urban context and the heritage of the area, I think the proposed development within the suburb, which has very stringent controls, is very excessive. I believe that it goes against most of the current controls set up by council, in particular the proportion and scale of permissible development in its use, which is a very great concern. So the currently proposed 5-storey scale building that commences at an already elevated plane, I believe, is well in excess of a reasonable scale development for Annandale. I'd like to know that Annandale is not Camperdown or Ultimo. There are references in regard to developments in nearby Camperdown that are quite large, and I believe that Annandale should not be tolerating this level of, scale in terms of development. I'm deeply disturbed by the support of council in amending the existing control plans to actually support this, as it contradicts, obviously, the current set of controls and also goes against advice that we've been given as residents within the area. As an example, trying to put a dormer window in our street on our existing roofs is not permissible by council. However, a 5-storey building is within about 30 metres of our building. That's a great concern. The other area of concern I have is that the submitted documents are incorrect. I'll refer to attachment 1, refer page 8, figure 5 and 6. The council report dated March 2020 actually shows photographs of the immediate area in context of Douglas Grant Memorial Park that are years out of date. So they're actually showing the small original park and an existing building that's since been demolished that's adjacent to 2B. So I have a great concern that the current information that's actually been submitted is incorrect. So I ask the panel to review this because that can be evidence. I have concerns regarding community consultation. We received correspondence on the 12th of February. However, it's dated January 12th, 2020. So we've actually had less time than I believe we should have had to actually respond. There are other concerns. Obviously, I can't cover them in this sort of time frame, which I'll ask the other community members to have a look at. But I do believe it's an inappropriate development in terms of scale. And I believe the information that has been submitted is incorrect, and we should be allowed to actually review correct information. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Joseph McDonald here?
Yes.
Yes. Would you like to proceed?
Yes, please. Right. My name is Joseph McDonald. I've been a resident in Annandale for 10 years. And there's a couple of concerns I have in regard. The acoustic report, attachment 15 included in the submission, is actually dated 2017 and relates to older submissions. It does not consider the current proposed building design and therefore is inadequate for consideration at this point. With a much higher density of population, roughly around 50 to 100 people plus, unquestionable impact on the noise generated and nighttime activity will hinder residents' ability to live a normal life. This is already evidenced through the Douglas Grant Memorial Park expansion, which was provided for families and children in the local community. However, one of the downsides is that it has also resulted in nighttime drunken gatherings, which have been occurring within the playground area, equipment area, with hazardous debris being left behind, graffiti and defacing, etc., of public amenities. On a number of occasions, police have had to be called out to, because of this excessive noise and activities, amplified due to the natural amphitheatre effect of the current topography and in close proximity to the residents and the park. This happened only last week. So, in short, the sound generated currently often prevents a reasonable existence at nighttime. One factor of this disruption is the close proximity to Wayward Brewing Pub, which is actually adjacent to the proposed development. And given the targeted tenant range demographics, this will in no doubt intensify those activities. Further concern is the revised scheme illustrates that the height and scale of the building has in principle remained unchanged from the previous rejected scheme. Basically, with the Chester Street west-facing open tenant entertainment area now focuses all the external student occupant recreational activity and noise towards the nearest local residence dwelling across the park, with all reflective building surfaces directing the focus to amplify. In the structure above podium level is to the northeast and southeast. This will reflect and amplify the noise level back to the residential area in the northwest and southwest, i.e. Susan and Chester Street. This illustrates a distinct lack of understanding of the site's context, orientation, basic acoustic principles, and its true resultant impact. Further note, the pedestrian cycle path, we have insufficient information regarding to the overall plan for that.
Mr. McDonald, that's your time. Do you hear me, Mr. McDonald?
Yes.
Your 3 minutes is up.
Yep, thank you.
All right. Now, do we have Warren Duncan here?
Yes, good morning.
Yes, your turn, Mr. Duncan.
Thank you very much. I live at number 5 Chester Street, next door to Tanya, and have done so for 30 years after a professional life that took me to live in many cities of the world, in at least a dozen different cities in this country. In other words, I know the true value of this precinct and the need to protect it. The thought we all want you to take away from today's meeting is that the outcome of your deliberations will be a watershed decision. Why do I say that? If you decide to recommend that this proposal go ahead, it will change irrevocably this small, peaceful corner of Annandale, a unique retreat so close to the hurly-burly of downtown Sydney. It will open the door by way of precedent to a potential total character change of our unique neighbourhood. And if that is what the state government is wanting, we should all oppose it. I acknowledge that council officers have done a very thorough job of supporting the applicant's proposal by attempting to minimise or dismiss the concerns of local residents. They appear to see no merit in the objections raised by locals. What is changing is the idea of introducing to this non-residential area on the south side of Johnston's Creek, stretching up to Parramatta Road and to Booth Street, a total change of character. We here have all lived adjacent to light industry for a long time, most of which attracts low numbers of customers or visitors and mostly closed by 5 p.m. Monday to Friday and silent on the weekends. Residential accommodation will create activity, noise and traffic at any hour of the day and on any day of the week. There seems to be a certain incompatibility about introducing student accommodation into a strictly family-oriented suburban environment. Our experience of the basketball mini court attracting young people to party with loud music until late at night gives us all fair warning of what could happen with numbers of young people living on site. Those particular youngsters appear not to live locally, but somewhere else in the area. Council itself created this highly desirable corner of tranquility with its closure of the traffic access from Chester Street to Taylor Street, its establishment later of a small park and a playground, and some years back, then its expansion into a fully-fledged recreational space along the creek bank in recent years. This development has been a complete success as a daytime retreat. It is indeed something special in an inner suburb of a major city. It would be a travesty to destroy something specifically created for local families, something which could not be replaced or replicated. And it is not just the presence of boarding house tenants, their vehicles, their legitimate social activities, and their student lifestyles, but that their accommodation will be virtually overlooking the park, where people sometimes go for a little peace and privacy, and that's what concerns us. The park is used every day by new mothers and small children, older children after school, and in the early evenings and weekends for social gatherings by local families for barbecues and outdoor meals.
That's your time, I'm afraid.
Thank you.
All right. Now, is Sue Strudwick here?
I am here. Thank you very much.
Sorry to get to you last, but you're the last. Oh, I can see you.
Yes, I've put my camera on. I really appreciate the time to address this panel.
All right. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Great. I live at 2B Chester Street, Annandale, and have done for 20 years. I'll be hitting 21 years in July. I'm in a two-storey terrace, and I'm the closest residence to this development, with approximately 30 metres from the site, nothing in between me except the children's playground, which will become important a little later on. We've all seen these suburbs you drive through, and they've allowed extensive overdevelopment, and you drive by them, and I think, how did they let that happen? Well, this development application is the turning point for Annandale. You're being asked to approve a five-storey, and for those that didn't see it, I used quotes, building containing three floors of residence that are actually no bigger than your average bedroom. They're 3 metres by 5 metres. You're being asked to approve a five-storey development that's actually seven storeys above the children's playground due to the elevation difference. You're being asked to approve a development that is only vehicle access is a dead-end street which doesn't allow two-way traffic. That is, you've got to stop your car and allow the other car coming the other way to go through before you can proceed. I hope that all the people who are in this panel and making decisions have actually done a proper site inspection and seen the elevation from the children's playground and driven down the two access roads, which are effectively only wide enough for one car. I trust that people are familiar with PR cuts. I don't know how to say it. That's how I refer to it. Put simply, PR cuts is intended to allow reasonable development along a corridor of Parramatta Road. It's not the intention of PR cuts to put a seven-storey building next to a children's playground, nor is it the intention to have a full-height building on the very outer rim of this proposed corridor. That's what this development is asking for.